championship and the weather doesn't stink. But we went through all of that last week and the feel-goods of opening day and Adam Jones and blowing a save and saving a home run and getting double pied and all the fun things that went on in the aftermath. And then, well, the Orioles pitching showed up, and now the Orioles show up in Houston facing the world champions. This guy is halfway around the world. I like Gavin Imani. Stirs it up a bit on the internet, as they would say, over in Australia. He is in Boronia, Australia, south of Melbourne, a country that I love very much. We have him on once or twice a year to talk a little football, a little baseball here and again. He is that guy halfway around the world who watches all the Orioles games at odd hours. I always try to figure it out on the clock, but because I've been to his homeland three times, I sort of get that it's already tomorrow there today. We welcome Dan Clark back onto the program. You can follow his journey from the land of Oz in Melbourne, homeland of AC/DC, among many others, at Dan Clark Sports. Top of the day to you, mate. Good day. How goes it, man?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. A little bit tired. Got up at 3 a.m. this morning on Monday. It is a public holiday here, though, so not too bad. I can sleep this afternoon. And there are a few others who do it. I've got a mate down the road, Tommy Jones, who's a big Orioles fan, him and his boys. So there's a few of us who do it. But, yeah, it was a bit disappointing getting up at 3 a.m. this morning to watch what Gausman served up, I guess, as well as what the offense served up. It was a bit of a lackluster 2 days after what was a pretty exciting opening day.
Well, and I think anybody that looked at the schedule, Dan, would say, all right, they're going to begin against Minnesota, and then they're going to have this train wreck of a schedule. I had some of the guys on from Tampa 2 weeks ago because, obviously, we picked up Alex Cobb, and I'm looking for some inside information, and I feel like we've got that. You can go out to the buyatoyota.com audio vault and hear that out at WNSD.net if you want to hear those conversations with Neil Solins, as well as Andy Freed, just talking about what a great pickup he was. And I started to look at the schedule. And like, look, the NFL schedule's coming out in 2 weeks. The day it comes out, we'll be circling when we're in Nashville, when we're going to play the Chargers in L.A., how we're going to run our road trip down to Charlotte and Atlanta and wherever else we're headed this year. But with a baseball schedule, like, you don't look at it the same way where you're, like, examining it, trying to find the soft underbelly. At least I don't, and certainly I've watched baseball going on, about 45 years now. We go all the way back. But, you know, a week before the season begins, you sort of look at it and say, well, where are they going to be? When are they going to get there? What are they going to find when they get there? And this is more weird because Cobb's not going to be available for the first couple of
weeks. Yeah.
But I tell you what, Houston, New York, then they got to go up to Boston, then they got to go out to Detroit. This is a tough early go for them all the way around. Tampa had to begin Boston, New York. It was crazy for them. But, this thing could get sideways very, very quickly if they're going to get pitching the way they did over the weekend against the Twins.
Yeah, absolutely. I looked at the draw, same thing yourself. I looked at the schedule and I thought, geez, we have to win the opening series because I wouldn't be surprised if we win one in each of Houston and New York and, all of a sudden we could be 3-8 or worse. And in what looks like being a pretty tough Eastern Division this year, we need all the wins we can get. And I generally thought, especially after opening day, I thought, we'll take two or three against the Twins and, hopefully limit the damage on the road. But I really worry about what's going to happen now, and especially if you look at who we're going to have starting in New York by the looks of it. We're going to have Cashner and Gausman again. We'll probably have Tillman and Wright. Now, the Yankees have a pretty good rotation this year, and who knows what could happen. It could be really ugly.
Well, I'm starting to get the vibe that when Bundy takes the ball, I'm going to have some level of confidence.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're going to be with Cobb once we get there. Clearly Tillman lost all of that for all of us in the same way that Jimenez never really earned that. Oh, I'm going to the ballpark tonight. Jimenez is pitching, or hey, I'm going to get a steak and put it on the grill, or put a shrimp on the bobby, as you would say over there. Put the game on and, like, sit with the game on a Wednesday night and make the game your destination or your date. And I tell you what, on an Easter Sunday where lots of folks didn't go to the game, this kids' opening day thing, and we're going to let kids in for free. And, look, we can discuss the value of all of that. But I would say, and look, I follow you out on Twitter, Dan, from halfway around the world, and I know you follow the work we do. There was not a period during October, November, December, January, January, February, beginning of training camp, where any of us had any expectation about this team being competitive. And then all of a sudden they go in on Cashner, and we're like, okay, you know, I mean, I'll hear that out. I mean, which began with we're going to deal Machado, we're going to deal Britton, we're going to deal. We're talking to this team about Machado, and the White Sox are over here, and we won't deal Machado in the division, and deal Machado, and we can't sign Machado. And now, like, you know, we're into the season, and they've signed Castro, they've signed Cobb, they're healthy for the most part from Boa's side. They have this weirdness of Davis batting leadoff, which, I don't know, man. I've been watching baseball a long time. I don't even want to sit here and argue with people about it. I'm just going to watch it play out.
Yep.
And judge it and view it based on what it is, not on what my old white guy mowing my lawn, get off my lawn guy said, you can't bat that guy leadoff. I don't know. I mean, he does get on base. So I don't hear that part from a Strat-O-Matic standpoint for anybody to play that game here. But, you know, I have expectation for them now to entertain me, Dan. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I got kind of lost up in all of this and thought, well, you know, maybe they're going to play some decent baseball in April, May, and June and suck me into the soap opera. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm waiting on Cobb. We'll be waiting on Cashner, obviously, off of where he was on the first start. They have no hope at all for Tillman. So, you know, bring back Ubaldo, I would say. But, well, you know, where are you? Does your expectation, you know, you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch this train wreck sometimes.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. You must have seen my tweet. I used that exact word, train wreck, this morning. And, you know, I'm very similar to you. Very, very quiet off season. And, you know, I got quite confident that the team they put together eventually, it was, you know, definitely going to be competitive. Obviously, they added Cobb and Cashner, as you mentioned, and we all hope Tillman can rebound. I think hope's the key word there. I don't know whether it can happen. But even, the, you know, they added the bullpen arm.
I don't know that I would have given him the chance, Dan. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I like Chris Tillman. Dude, if you want to come in and pitch for your supper in Sarasota, great. But money, I don't know. I mean,
$3 million, I think it was.
I mean, Luke, you know, listen, if Tillman somehow is 11-9 with a 4.60 ERA and is serviceable and makes 28 starts and, you know, sucks up 192 innings and, you know, goes to 205 hits and doesn't give up too many home runs, or at least not leadoff home runs like we saw Gausman do on Sunday, you know, I would say okay on that, but I would not have had Tillman back on this baseball team for me.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people probably share that view. I think there was more desperation than anything. You know, when we looked at what, you know, we could have had, you know, Noah and Wright and Alec Asher, and then we look at that and we think, gee, and all of them are unproven. So I think it was a bit desperation more than anything. But again, yeah, as I said, they added some nice Rule 5 picks in the bullpen. They brought in some offensive depth with Valencia, Rasmus, brought Alvarez back. I generally thought they had a roster which could be quite competitive, and that still may be the case. You know, obviously, it is only one series, but the concern I have,
Alvarez is on the team, is like, you know, against all odds, he's kind of like Flaherty, right? Like,
yeah,
he won't go away. I mean, you know, I mean, as much as they try to get rid of him, they can't get rid of him.
Can I also throw the name Craig Gentry out there as well? Same thing. You know, these guys just have a habit of hanging around. But, you know, what Michael,
I'm just hoping that Nestor Cortez hangs around for obvious reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if there was a guy on the team named Dan Clark, you'd pull for him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But I think my major concern, even though it is just one series, is the way in which it happened. They relied too heavily on the long ball and it didn't show up, and the team hit .117 combined. You know, there were strikeouts again. They couldn't hit with runners in scoring position. Gausman and Cashner obviously imploded. Brad Brack, I mean, what's going on with him?
They almost got no hit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
On a Saturday night. I mean, it's like cover your eyes at that point. And the basketball games were going on here simultaneously, which is kind of a big deal in America, Dan. So, you know, watching that in the middle of basketball, you're saying, you got to be kidding me. On night two, we're on no-hitter alert on multiple pitchers against the Minnesota Twins. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, and even, you know, Sunday's game with you know, Cisco got a lucky hit, which was probably a misplayed fly ball, and then the bunt. So it nearly happened twice. It's really concerning. It just seems like 2017 all over again.
Well, the defense isn't going to be what it was, and obviously Davis didn't help the situation the other day. They're going to have a little bit of that going on. Beckham couldn't handle one.
Yeah.
It's 7-0 game, so I mean, I don't know that it even matters. But just watching the way this team played baseball in 13, 14, 15, the heyday for the modern era, which really didn't net the same as the heyday for my dad's era back in the late 60s and 70s,
yeah.
And my era in the late 70s and early 80s, there's a different level of expectation here. But when you're talking about Harvey playing shortstop at the top of his game and the way Adam Jones got after it, you know, in his heyday defensively,
yeah.
Where they were, and Weeters when he was just, you know, on sort of that Johnny Bench sort of way of thinking about him.
Yeah.
A different team. Markakis, too. Very, very
Markakis, exactly.
Brian Roberts was very solid. I mean,
yeah.
They had a long legacy of solid defensive players, and, you know, that's not really where they are right now. The pitching's not going to get help from the defense so much as Century going over the wall on opening day, right?
Yeah, and look, if you look at 2014, that was probably when they were at their peak. That 2014 rotation posted some really good numbers, Wei Yin Chen, Bud Norris, guys like that. Yet they probably weren't outstanding pitchers. I think they were, they heavily benefited from a solid defense, and that's what worries me now. If our defense slips, we don't have the arms to cover for that.
Here's Dan Clark. You can find him in Melbourne, Australia. You can find him out on the internet at Dan Clark Sports. Tell me what you do, Dan, and why you're like all wound up about being an Oriole fan that gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch games. So is it 14 hours? Is that correct from where we are with you?
Let me think. I think it's gone back a bit. I think it is 14 now, yeah. It was a bit more because we've just had daylight savings come to an end here.
7 p.m. typical East Coast Oriole games, you get up when? At 5 a.m.?
Nine a.m. So I'm at work. I'm at work by then. I'm at work by then and chuck the earphones in and listen at work usually.
9 a.m. So you're watching. So you have baseball for breakfast literally every day at 9 a.m. I want to come live in Melbourne. Can you adopt me in on the 6-month program?
It's pretty good. However, the Sunday games over in Baltimore, as I said, 3 a.m. every Monday is not pleasant.
Well, it's going into your fall now too, so it's not quite summer anymore.
Correct.
Where you are, but you know, you've loved the Oriole stuff for a long, long time. I've
yep.
seen you out on the internet blogging. You come on from time to time to plug the stuff that you do to get the season together. Where are your expectations? Did you make an official prediction, Dan? I mean, my number was the same as my dear friend John Allen's song, 1985. I graduated in 1985, and I'm going to say 85 victories. That was my prediction, 85 and 77. I'm being very optimistic
yep.
in giving them 85 victories. And that optimism was born from having Cashner and Cobb, not Tillman. I think Tillman's going to be the Jimenez of this thing.
Yep.
I think he'll be gone by July. And then I'm just sort of betting that they'll be in this thing enough to trash heap somebody somewhere. They'll find some soft toss left-hander to get him some starts, or they'll
yep.
bring somebody, you know, through the system who looks like, you know, he's burning it up at Bowie or burning it up at Norfolk, or they'll find some, you know, Wright or some Tyler or some somebody, and
yep.
they'll do something like that. But that's my feeling. I feel like I had maybe a little bit too much confidence in them here in the short haul, but I think they're going to be in this in June or July. At least I'm betting on that at this point. I don't think this is an implosive, you know, 3-18 start for them, but I am a little disconcerted about the pitching and really a one-dimensional lineup with defensive liability.
Yeah, I think I couldn't agree more. I think I had them at high 70s before they went and got Cobb, so I'd probably put them at 84, my formal prediction, 84. With you know, such a range of maybe 5 either way. You know, if things don't go right, they could be back under 80. Or if I think, you know, if the offense...
I want to point this out, by the way. If you're at 84 and I'm at 85, that makes me more optimistic than you. So anybody gives you a hard time on the internet or giving me a hard time, remind them that I'm even more optimistic than you are about the team.
That's true.
Just so we know that. Right?
That's true.
I just wanted to point that out while we had a moment together of clarity about optimism with the team.
That's on the record now. So you're slightly more optimistic than me. But I will say, if things go right, and it's a big if Tillman, as you said, can go 11-9 with a 4.7, and if the team hits 230, 250 home runs, because they're going to need them, they could go as high as, you know, high 80s and push for that second wild card. But I'm going to say somewhere in the middle, probably maybe just a falling short with 84 wins.
You know, for me, Dan, in a year where I'm resigned that they're not going to win the World Series. Let's start with that.
Yep.
I'm resigned that I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. You know, I think there's a 15 to 20% chance that they'll make the playoffs,
yep,
in my opinion. And I think there's a 65% chance that they're going to have an interesting season, right?
Like, yep.
So, their two injuries, they're a sore elbow from Cobb on June 9th and a fractured something from somebody,
yep,
named Machado, Scope, Jones, Mancini, whatever. Or Mancini gets his feelings hit this year because he can't hit. And Davis gets real old real quick. And,
yep.
And Beckham goes back to just being that guy. And Rasmus goes to being, a guy. And the catching thing's not so much offensively.
Yep.
And Machado wants out. And I mean, I can see that. I think there's a 35% chance of that. I thought there was probably a 60% chance of that prior to Cashner Cobb. Right?
Yeah.
And I think it's Cashner Cobb because I wasn't buying into Cashner. But when they spent $53 million on Cobb, I said, all right, I'll buy in.
Yep.
So my level of expectations changed a little bit for them, but I also, I'm realistic about this and wondering what makes this thing work. And I think behind, and this has always been my specialty, if you've read my Peter Principles,
yep,
or you've read any of my Ravens work, is I like to take the deep dive into the hole of who's running the place, what's going on behind the scenes, why are kids coming in free, what are they doing on the marketing side, why is the stadium so empty, why can I walk up and buy a $15 ticket on opening day, which I didn't do, by the way, because the dude let me in for free, and that's a blog for another day.
Yeah.
But, I wonder what's going on with the franchise and where Peter is and where John is. And Ray Angelos is now sitting behind home plate with Bam Shriver on Easter Sunday. And, they're trying to rev the engines back up and trying to get people back into the ballpark.
Yep.
The story of what happens here, right, with Buck, Dan, Machado, Jones, Brady, Duquette, Peter,
yep,
like how this soap opera is going to play out over the next 18 or 24 months is far more interesting because they're not going to win the World Series,
correct,
in my opinion.
Correct. No, I agree. And it's a pivotal year. Which was really wild surprise they gave 4 years to Cobb. If they're not, and there hasn't been any extension talks with either Machado, Jones, or Scope, I just find it very odd that they gave Cobb 4 years, because they obviously think that there's somewhat of a chance for this next 4 year period. But unless they go out and Machado's, if they want a genuine chance, they've got to sign Machado. But I don't think they're going to throw the money out for him. So that means obviously Scope's pretty important, but. Again, it's fascinating that there hasn't been any extension talks at all.
He is Dan Clark Sports. The question is, who's running the place? I mean, with the Ravens around here, there's accountability, accountability,
yep,
accountability. We had Coach Trotz out the other night for the Washington Capitals. There's accountability, accountability. There's a strategy. There's a system. There's a way we play. There's a way we scout. There's a way we go about our business. There's a way we do our business. There's a way we share our business with our fans.
Correct. That's a big one. Yeah.
There's a way we address the community, and the Orioles have never figured that out. And they do these whack job things like throwing $53 million at Alex Cobb,
yep,
in a year where they have all of these other holes in their boat. And, again, it's a train wreck of a soap opera, but I've been covering this thing for a quarter of a century. In the same way that some get a movie and get a bowl of popcorn, I sit here with my hot tea and my cold roofing mug and try to assess it with you from halfway around the world. You're getting ready for Ravens season. I know you're a football fan, too. You have some sort of Baltimore affliction. Like, what afflicted you over there in the middle of Australia, Dan?
The Ravens grew from the back of the Orioles, obviously. And then, obviously, I've always loved the hockey. And being that I've travelled to Baltimore a fair bit, I find it a lot easier, especially in April, to go to Washington than somewhere else in America. So that's where the love of the Capitals came from. But, I mean, Baltimore Orioles, that all came from I play baseball down here, and the team I play for is the Blackburn Orioles. And there was a natural progression into, I guess, probably about 10 years ago when I thought I needed a team to follow a little bit more closely, even though the O's were struggling significantly at that time. I kind of like that us Australians, yeah, to say the least, us Aussies love the underdog, and it was good to follow a team taking on the powerhouses of New York and Boston.
Well, I tell you what, we don't have a World Cup team here this year.
Yeah,
In the FIFA, so, I'm all about adopting out. I mean, to be honest, I know you guys are Group C with France.
We're in trouble.
Look, I watch this, completely with love for the sport, for the game. I went to the World Cup in Germany, so I have many, many friends in Australia. I tell everyone Australia's my favorite country on earth because it is, and I look forward to getting back over there to Noosa and Byron Bay.
Yep.
And getting my wife back up to Hamilton Island and jumping off the reef and visiting the folks like you over Melbourne and Adelaide. I still haven't been to Perth. I got to get out west there. I'm not doing the outback, dude. I think I've explained this to you. I don't do bugs. I don't do bugs. So there's no Ayers Rock. Ayers Rock is going to come to me by a Steve Irwin on a DVD.
Yeah.
15 years ago when he was out there swatting flies. That's not my joint, man. Can't do that.
I've never been to the outback either. It's not my cup of tea either. So I'm on the same page with you there, man.
All right, man. Well, look, always the top of the day to you. Begin your day with Oreo baseball there. We'll begin our day and give you a follow out there at Dan Clark's. Always good to catch up with you on, we're optimistic, right? Maybe the next time we get together, we won't be so optimistic. I hope so, but I hope to be calling on you in, let's say, June at some point. And let's say the Capitals have just won the Stanley Cup and we've just paraded it around the Inner Harbor here and the Orioles are, I don't know. Optimism would be 3 games over .500.
I was going to say five.
That would be very optimistic.
Yeah, I was going to say 5 games over .500. So let's go with that.
All right, so you're more optimistic than me in June. All right, we'll see. Well, we've both seen their pitching already, Dave.
Yeah, that's true.
Yourself, my brother. Be well over there,
all right? You too. Speak to you soon. Thanks, Nest.
Good on you, mate. There he goes. Dan Clark Sports. Follow him out in Melbourne, Australia, and maybe I can make him our Australian Open correspondent in January of next year. But I love his country. Everybody that follows me knows of my affinity for the great Aussies. He's Dan Clark Sports out on Twitter. WNSD.net is all brought to you by our friend Ed Howard Bank. I'm wearing the cap right now. I got cats all over the place here. I got my Pizza John's.